This morning, in this service, it will be a time of ordinations. The Lord will establish people. The Lord will restore graces that are lost. The Lord will reenact policies of His Spirit that were spoken concerning destinies that are lost. It will be a morning of establishment. Thank you, Father. We come under the government of your name. We align with the speakings and the thunderings of your utterances from the throne of grace. Our hearts are open, Lord. We come in the spirit of brokenness, that we may be furnished with capacities that are required to advance the frontiers of your kingdom. Empowerment that will give us the ability to live above the treachery of our time and to be true witnesses of your government. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor, for having me. It's a great honor. Give me sound at the background. I may not be able to exhaust everything in my spirit, but you see, spiritual realities are not always furnished by cognitive utterances. Sometimes they are communicated as a body of spirits. So when the Lord appears before His servants, most times before He speaks, or even while He's yet speaking, the Spirit will enter into the people and lift them to their feet. We may not be able to exhaust everything the Lord puts in our spirits, but the words we speak, they are spirit and they are life. So beyond the articulate expressions, there's a communication of spirits. And this morning, I want to commend you to God. And I want to encourage your hearts to believe. Because there will be a shift. You don't need to feel it. There will be a shift. And your results will prove that there has been a shift. In the name of Jesus. Just bear with me. My voice is bad. But it will not be a limitation in the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. From verse 1. Paul speaking to the body of Christ in Corinth. And he said, when I came unto you, came not with or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Spiritual establishment, it's not a function of how much you know. It's not a function of how much you can communicate. It's a function of where you are standing. And Paul, having received the grace to understand the economies of God, began to reveal to us the things that predetermine his emphasis, the things that inform his motivations and his communication. Even though he had a lot of encounters, he knew so much. He said his priority was not to display the much that he knew. His priority was to establish the believers in the power of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11, Paul said, he gave some to be apostles. He gave some to be prophets. He gave some to be evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, so that we will all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. The only way a believer can come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, is when he's standing in the Spirit. There is no planting, there is no establishment until a believer has come to an understanding of the realities of God as they are sculpted in the spirit realm. If your feet is not established in the Spirit, you can be tossed to and fro. I was sharing with Pastor last night, and I told him while we were sharing together, communicating and expressing burdens of the gate of error that is being opened. And for such a time as this, it's important for believers to be truly planted in the house of God and in the counsel of His Spirit. Because too many things rising, they sound intelligent, they sound articulate, but when you give yourself to it, you will discover that the life and the nature of the Christ can no longer be expressed in your life. It's a sign that you are already in error. You cannot justify a doctrine that cannot give expression to the life of God. Every doctrine that produces sin and iniquity, comfort in the place of error and sin, is not of God, no matter how intelligent it sounds. Paul is aware that there are many preachers, there are plethoras of messages flying everywhere. But he said, my emphasis, my priority is to see that you are standing in the Spirit. There is an organogram of the Spirit that brings a believer to the right positioning in the sphere and the strata of spiritual operations. And until a believer is standing in the Spirit, he has no future, he has no place in God, and he has no destiny in the economy of God's kingdom. Pastor is already on a series on being planted. I want to add my little quota to it this morning. And I want to believe that beyond articulate speech, beyond reason and logic, beyond doctrinal exegesis, you will come to a point where you can look at your secret life and you will know that you are powered by the power of the endless life. In your secret place, you will know that I may not be able to express this thing articulately, but my life conforms with the order of heaven. You will look at yourself in the hiding and you will know that Jesus approves of me, because I am not living in sin. I am living above the powers of iniquity that has bedeviled my generation. You will come to that point where the testimony of your life will flow from the realities in your spirit, not just your communication. He said in Acts chapter 1 verse 2, of all that Jesus both began to do and to teach, the witness of the immortal life, the witness of eternal life, the witness of the endless life is the testimony of the believer. And this morning, God will help us. There's burden in my spirit. I need to talk to my voice. I need to speak. So the journey of the believer begins when he's established in spirit. Our life is a life in the spirit. But it's very pathetic that in the company of believers today, we are only talkers, preachers, and singers. We don't have the life and the experience of men who are planted in God. You may take it for granted until you are in a crisis. You see, our brother came to testify. Thank God for what God has done in his life. But he testified like a news writer. If that testimony were captured on the newspaper, you will not see the input of God. That means there is the God consciousness is lacking. A man can go to Hades and God brings him back. And when he testifies, he cannot bring in the God factor. Because life to us is casual. We think it's a set of circumstances. Because we don't live from the spirit realm. We live by sets of chances and luck. But every time the body wants to or should grow, we begin by going back to the spirit. Until your feet is planted in the spirit, you have not started walking with God. It doesn't matter how many years you have been in church. Your life and your journey begins when you are established in the spirit. That's what planting is all about. It's not about the doctrine you know. It's not about the expression of God that you can communicate with words. It's the degree to which you are rooted in God. So much so that your thought patterns, your philosophies, your life, everything projects from the foundation of the spirit. If we take a census today, you'll be amazed that many believers live by luck and chance. When we want to make crucial decisions of our lives, we run around asking questions because we are like them that have no direction. The voice of God is cast from the borders of our habitation. Many are living in crisis. They can't even share with anybody. They don't seem to know what to do about it because we are not planted in the courts of God. When there is a calamity, when there is a crisis, what is your first point of reference? When you are in a challenge, what informs your true conviction and confidence? That's when you will determine the quality of your Christian life. Today, when somebody is on fire, the first thing is that he's a prophet, he's an apostle, he's a preacher. Because we think life in the spirit is about activities. In the early church, you could pick anybody from their ranks. People who were serving tables entered the city and they took the whole city. He said, Philip went to Samaria. Do you know who Philip was? He's not an apostle. He's not a prophet. He's not a pastor. He's not a teacher. He is an usher in the apostolic community. An usher entered the city. And in Acts chapter 8 verse 10, he said, Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there. The city was full of joy. An usher casting out devils and raising men from wheelchair is not a big deal. What they focused on is establishment. He said, we will not give ourselves to tables. We will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So long as they were doing it, every other person took alignment. So the guy who was full of the Holy Ghost and faith, in Acts chapter 6 verse 2, in Acts chapter 6 verse 8, the Bible now said he was full of the Holy Ghost and power. What happened? He took bearing from the apostolic life in the spirit. So when they scatter abroad, the kingdom, the frontiers of the kingdom are being extended. You will think they are scattering. No, it is the kingdom enlarging. Because anywhere one of them comes, he is a city taker. Everyone is a city taker. They are established in God. But we have a Christianity today that a virgin goes to NYC orientation camp and in 21 days she's deflowered. And we come back to say it's grace. It's a shame. So when you see 10 of them gather, don't count 10 men, count 10 cities. When you see 15 of them gather, they are not 15 men, they are 15 cities. That's the order. From time immemorial, even in the Old Testament, there was a man called David that knew what it means to be established in the house of God. And the Bible says 400 broken men came to him in the cave of Adullam. And David entered into the spirit. He mingled his way in God until he made all of them prophets. If David is playing the harp, he's prophesying. You think you are listening to melody. He said, no, I prophesy with my harp. And I uttered that sentence. With his harp, he reconfigured broken men and they became warriors. One of them can defend the nation. The Bible said at the point, the children of Israel ran away, not the men of David. He said, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, he fell upon a spear and he brought down 800 men. One man fell upon a spear until his hands became cleaved. Do you know the meaning of Eleazar? Eleazar means a spear. That means the guy became one with his weapon because he was established. A point comes where we begin to bear witness with our names. So when your name is favor, because you are established, everywhere you go, things pursue you. It's no longer praying, God, give me bread. You show up, you say, I am favor. Wonder man, he said to the priest, he said, you and the men that sit with you, men greatly wonder that. Isaiah said, I and the children the Lord has given to me, we are for signs, we are for wonders. How do men get to that level of stature in the spirit? They are planted in God. Their lives become testimonies of the invincible God dwelling in the heights of Zion. Who are you? Christianity today is a title. It's packaging. And we think we can challenge the princes in darkness. We think we can push back the gates of hell. Because we think it's a joke. Raising young believers, not being taught the way of the spirit. You think it's about a suit and a good message. And then young people come everywhere, online, everywhere, saying things that they have not handled. John came, he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. That's what we commit to you. So that we have fellowship with us. And he said, truly, our fellowship is with the Father. Do you know the meaning of that utterance? Before man was created, the Godhead sat with themselves. There was an interaction between the community of the divine. The Father looked upon the Spirit and he uttered words to the Spirit. The Spirit looked upon the Logos and he uttered word to the Logos. It is the pressure and the intensity, that koinonia between the Father, the Spirit and the Son, that bettered man. Man is a product of deity. But the fall detached man from that witness. It detached man from that fellowship. So John came back. He said, we have entered into a technology. Now we can return and become part of the fellowship of the Godhead. So I'm inviting you not to fellowship with me. I'm bringing you back to the communion that existed before the foundation of the world. So a believer is a man that lives from the womb of the Spirit. He participates with deity. We don't know what Christianity is. We were not taught correctly. He said he pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in Jesus bodily. That's what Christianity is about. So when you show up, it's God you are bringing on the scene. We call it living epistles, eternal witnesses, testimonies of the reality of the Spirit. You know, the hard part is that these things can only be revealed. We live detached from the foundation of life and we go to talk to men that are robots of demons. Witness is spirit to spirit. It's not English language to spirit. Being established in the courts of God. Sometimes we should just sit down and cry and tell God to help us. You know what? Sometimes when the angels look at us, we are like clowns. What is he doing? You are saying what you don't know. You are saying what you have never handled. And then you are bold. You are screaming. You are jumping. Then they look at you. They say, what kind of people are these? A man who knows nothing is both deceiving himself and the people listening to him. Ah! That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So when you come into this community, it is expected that we enter into experiential relationship with God. This is what it means to be established, to be planted in the Spirit. No wonder in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful. That's a man that is detached from this realm. He doesn't have connection with the ideologies, the philosophies, and the systems of the world. Where is that man living? If it's possible for a man not to be connected with the systems of this world, where is he living? It means that man lives in the Spirit. Jesus walking in Nazareth, he said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. That's what Psalm 1 means. That's why he said, the ungodly shall wither and they shall be blown away like the chaff before the wind. He said, but they that are godly, they shall be planted. They are living in the rivers of living water. That's the sea of glass. They are furnished. They are nurtured from heaven. Their philosophies, their inspiration, their orientation comes from another realm. So they are at best pilgrims in this realm, with a consciousness of their nativity, which is in the Spirit. If we want to define what Christianity really is, we'll be amazed, both of us are not Christians. I want to show you what the apostles used, the formula they used to establish men in the kingdom. You know, I was with the NYC guys 2 days ago, and I was sharing with them the place of doctrine. I showed them the 10 pillars of redemption. But you see, the painful aspect of it is that you can hear it, but you don't know it. Because spiritual equation is different from natural equation. So you can hear about the blood of Jesus, and you can even religiously sprinkle the blood, but you'll be shocked that you don't know it. Everything you are taught on earth, you must interact with it in the Spirit. Sometimes when you bring this emphasis, it looks as if you are being spiritual, you are being a spiritist. When you start doing kingdom business, you will know that anything you don't interact in the Spirit and you move or try to represent it on earth, you are exposed and you can be struck. I thought it was a joke until I wanted doing territorial business. And when I started interceding for territories, I started seeing beings, strange creatures, walking into my room. And I was raised from the faith college. I said, how is this possible? The first time a being entered my room, I froze. I didn't believe this was possible. How can a creature that obviously is from hell, how can he enter my room? How? I now understood that this business is spiritual. And I now know why many people are dwarfs in the Spirit. Because they are not taught how to do business in the spirit realm. We are full of knowledge. Our knowledge reveals arrogance and pride. It's a sign that we don't know it in the Spirit. If you know it in the Spirit, you'll be broken. Because you know Every time you come there, you are covered. And pride, arrogance bring you out of your covering. And the moment you are exposed, you are vulnerable. How do we get planted in the Spirit? Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. I'm able to lift up burdens. Some of you will live here and you go on 21 days fast. And you will pray your way. That life in your spirit, you will squeeze it in the wine press until it flows out of you. I come to expose you to spiritual pressure that will stay hunger on your inside to squeeze it. Some of you will leave this meeting. It will be difficult for you to sleep till 6 a.m. A hand will come and pull you up, and you will be awake in the morning, and you will find yourself praying. You will go to eat in the morning, it will be like a sin. You know what? It's a re-engineering. It will look like a sin. You want to eat. They have not taught you that doctrine. It's life in the spirit. Because the goal is for you to be established. How do we get established in the kingdom? He said, therefore, Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Perfection is the end point of the believer's life. It speaks of a state of maturity where your life becomes the full expression of the life of Jesus. Jesus came into this world to give expression to the life of the Father. You and I are born again to give expression to the life of Jesus. You attain perfection when every faculty of your life begins to give expression to the nature and the power of the Christos. Bible said in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, it said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, has in this last day spoken to us by his Son, who being the bright image of his person, the express image of his person. So Jesus is the express image of the Father. Philip asked him, show us the Father that we might see him. He said, you've been with me and you want to see the Father? Whoever have seen me have seen the Father. You know, that's a life beyond I sinned, I asked for forgiveness. That's a life above sin. You are not walking in grace because you have forgiveness. You are walking in grace because you live above sin. Grace is a person. His name is Jesus. So you have grace and you live in grace when you express Jesus. Grace is the power to live above sin and corruption. Grace is a supernatural power to live above death and corruption. Forgiveness is not the full expression of grace. He said the grace of God has appeared to all men. Titus chapter 2 from verse 11. What does he do? Teaching us to live soberly, righteously in this present world. So you who must become the full expression of Jesus and his life force. If you have not come there, it means you have not yet been established in the kingdom. So Paul is speaking about perfection. A point where you can just look at anybody and send him anywhere. Do you know the people Paul was sending? He sent Timothy to Ephesus. Timothy was 17 years old. And Timothy was the bishop of Ephesus. Timothy was ordaining elders. So eldership is not a function of age. Eldership is a function of the state of perfection that you have attained in the kingdom. So he told Timothy to be an expression, an example in all things, including purity. That's a man who is established, growing unto perfection. Is he not laying again the foundation? Listen, that means everywhere Paul went to, this is what he laid. And he has laid it here before. So he said, not laying again. I have laid this foundation before, and I will yet lay it if need be. Everywhere Paul goes to, and he wants to see men established, this is the foundation that he lays. And the first foundation that Paul spoke of, he said, of repentance from dead works. I need to calm myself down a bit. Because if I begin to share these things, sometimes the place erupts. So that I can finish it today. What is dead works? Dead works are activities, expressions, and lifestyles motivated, inspired, and empowered by the flesh. It's not just a list. In Galatians 5:19 to 22, this preaching can be dead works if it is inspired by the flesh. Your prayer can be dead works if it's inspired by the flesh. This is why many are not established. So when he's on the microphone, it's a show. It's dead works. It's dead works. That means you are powered by the fallen nature. You are powered by the state of the fall. If you are at that level, you can know all the doctrines, but you'll be an atheist. There are many Muslim scholars who are A-list theologians. Dead works. If you look at your life for a moment, find out everything you do. What's your inspiration? What's your motivation? What's your empowerment? What you are doing, if you were alone, will you do it? Those days, God told me, he said, you are at your best when no man sees you. Most of the things we do are dead works because we are powered by the flesh. That's why when they are praying, a brother in the congregation can't pray, but give him the mic to lead prayers. Dead works, because he's now in the spotlight. So it's a show, it's a charade. And most times, even while he's doing what he's doing, he's not connected to heaven. Every time you are powered by flesh, you have no connection with the spirit. So you can never be established. So Paul said, repentance from dead works. Repentance is not just confessing your sins. It's a turnaround. It's a turnaround. I was sharing with them yesterday. I said, most times we sin, we cry, and then when we feel good, we think we have repented. No, we haven't. What happened is a biochemical process. When you repent, you turn around and you take a new lead. That's why repentance is not cheap. Many are not taught. It's a product of an encounter with the voice of God that causes a man to turn and to come back to where God is standing. Sometimes it's not even from dead works. Sometimes it's from where you have been for a long time. So God will tell the Israelite, you have been around this mountain for too long. So every time we go higher in the spirit, we are repenting. We are turning around. He said, I was in the Isle of Patmos for the word of the Lord and for the testimony of his kingdom. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard the voice as of a trumpet. And as I turned, instantly he was in the spirit. He found himself in the middle of the seven candlesticks. He has repented. He has moved. He has shifted. So repentance is migration from flesh to spirit. And the precursor of repentance is an encounter with the world. That's why your feelings cannot prosecute repentance. Until you have an encounter with the world, you cannot turn around. So Paul will let them know that they need to be perpetually connected to the frequencies of God. Do you know why we can never repent of the times? We are connected to the world system. So our philosophy and ideology are still flowing. We are still connected to the live stream. You sin, you cry for 2 hours, and the next thing you are back on Facebook. You are seeing the same things you saw that followed the process of gestation and hatched sin. You have not turned around. The only place where a man can turn around is in the spirit. So we begin the journey of establishment when we begin to dwell in the spirit. This is why waiting on the Lord becomes the heaviest molecule of your Christian practice. Because so long as you are still connected to the systems of the world, you will remain focused on the world. And the law of the spirit is that whatever you see, you become. He said, when we shall see him, we shall be like him. It's when you turn to the Lord that you can walk before him perfect. But most of us, the presence of God, the secret place, is not an existence in our lives. You go to your room to pray, and the forces of flesh comes to pull you out. And you are there for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, for 20 minutes. You have not yet migrated. And you say, thank you, Father. You stepped out. You didn't pray. Your prayer begins when you begin to migrate in the spirit. And the flesh will attempt to pull you. You will be there to fight. You will fight. That's what he said. The flesh wrestles against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Because if you don't conquer the flesh there, you can't conquer the flesh when you are before the lady, when you are before the bride, when you are before the pressure. You can never. Where it is conquered is in the womb of the presence, where we turn around. Where we turn around. So you are there. Sometimes it takes 2 hours to migrate. Something is happening. Have you been to that place before where you went to pray and you just came and opened the window and you closed it, you went back? You went to the kitchen, you opened the pot, you closed it, you came, you carried your phone, you looked at it. You are not doing anything. You are trying to feed flesh. But the way flesh dies is when you starve it. You starve it. As you stay there, it struggles with you. You starve it. After a while, the powers of flesh will give way. Then you will hear the voice. You will hear the voice. And that voice will carry you to your feet. He said, I saw. I was among the captives by the river Kabah. I saw visions of God. And as he spake, the voice entered into me and brought me to my feet. When you battle with flesh and you starve it of its tendencies, a point comes when it gives way. That's when you can hear the voice. And that's where the journey of establishment begins from. When you can turn around. Because you have come to the mountain of God, where men are made perfect. Do you know why we are religious people? Most of us never hear that voice that causes for a turnaround. You can be an apostle, but you'll be a slave of sin. At best, people will look at you in the public and have expectations and make assumptions, but you know that you don't have the oracles of God. Many can't stay for a turnaround. He said, when we turn around in repentance, then we have the next ingredient. It's a faith towards God. Do you know why you know a lot of scriptures, yet faith doesn't build in your heart? Because it's the rhema word that produces faith. The logos can equip you with principles and wisdom, but it is the rhema word that produces faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rema of God. He said that thou mightest cleanse her by washing with water by the word of God. The word "word" there is the word remata. Because what happens when a man begins to enjoy the drawings of God is when the rema word impregnates him. The word used for betting faith is the word spelma. That's where you get the word spermatozoan. So when that word enters into your spirit, that word is incubated in the atmosphere and the chambers of your spirit, and then something that is God is born on your inside. That's what pulls you towards God. In Luke 1:35, he said the spirit will come upon you, the power of the highest will overshadow you, that thing that will be formed in you. When you tarry and you hear that thought, that word that comes impregnates your spirit and something comes alive. The next time you go there, it will not be discipline. It will not be an act. It will be hunger. Because it begins to pull. It begins to draw. And then you find out that all of a sudden, you are at home. And then you are no longer interested in gisting with people. When they are talking, something is, there's an unrest in your spirit. There's an unrest. You just want to leave. There's a drawing, because the word of faith is beginning to germinate in your spirit. This is where men journey from religion to spirit. Christianity is an enormous responsibility. How many of you have seen this path and have walked in it before? If you have journeyed into the spirit, you will know this part. This is what Paul establishes all the time. Most times when we come to share the word is just a precursor to take you to the presence. When you stay there, that's where the journey of establishment begins. How many of you are pregnant with the word? When was the last time you heard the voice of God? How do you think the prophets were so mighty? I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and I heard a voice. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. This is the walk in the spirit. It's not an activity. It's a life of secrecy. It's a life of separation. It's a life of eternal intimacy that brings you to the belly of koinonia. This is beyond excitement. Everybody you see standing in God, there's a re-engineering in his spirit, man. There's something happening inside. We live from inside out. If you begin to live from outside in, the world system can corrupt you. But when you live from inside out, you begin to change the systems of the world around you. We have not journeyed to that point where the sperma can be incubated in our spirits. So our life is trial and error. He said, when you get there, then the third thing begins to happen to you. At this point, things are becoming spontaneous. When you started, you carried yourself there, you were struggling. You were laboring. You were fighting the fight of faith. But as you begin to go deeper, it becomes spontaneous. That's why he said, the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. It begins to get spontaneous. And the third thing you see, he calls it the doctrine of baptism. Baptism in this context, it's not necessarily immersion. It's not being born again. You know, when you were born again, you were baptized into the body of Christ. When you were immersed, it was significant of your death and burial with Jesus. Your coming out was significant of your resurrection. But you'll be shocked that even though you are dead with Christ, the old man will still be finding expression. That means you have carried out the legality, but you have not entered into the organic. You have not entered into the experience. Paul is showing us where the experience begins. When you have turned from dead works in the spirit, and faith is beginning to germinate in your spirit, drawing you towards God, he said, then baptisms begin. This kind of baptism is an immersion into the spirit of God. It is the outpouring of the spirit upon your life again and again to swallow up dimensions of this world that comes to take you back. This is why in Acts chapter 4, when they were threatened and beaten, asked not to preach in the name of God, their boldness began to shake. So the Bible said they went back to their own company. And as they prayed, he said the place where they were was shaking, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That's baptism. They were immersed in the Holy Spirit. And instantly, he said, they preached the word of God with boldness. These were the men that were flogged and threatened not to preach the word of God. They needed another baptism. So they were filled again. They were immersed again. So that which was a challenge was swallowed up in victory. So the next time they stepped out, they were more rugged and more militant. This time around, they did not only preach to peasants, they preached to priests. And in Acts chapter 6 verse 7, he said a great company of the priests became obedient to the faith. Courage, faith, empowerment had come. So Paul was telling them about the varying degrees of baptism in light and in the spirit that they will enter from time to time in order to be established. So what it means is that every time the old nature tries to show up again, you go back for baptism. Once upon a time, you were hungry for prayer. Now it's becoming a struggle. Go back for baptism. Because corruption is beginning to set into your soul. You have passion for evangelism. It's dying. Now you wake up, you want to go out, you say tomorrow, go back for baptism. Because until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, the wilderness will never be changed to a fruitful field, and the fruitful field will not be counted for a forest. That means a man growing in the Spirit at some point can find himself drifting back. So Paul says the cure is the doctrine of baptism. You are filled with light. You are immersed again in the Spirit. We don't know these things. So when the brother begins to struggle, he thinks the cure is to separate himself and to hide. When you hide, you disconnect yourself from help. The cure is not a hidden life. Hidden life is an incubation for demons. It's an incubation of flesh. When it comes with its ugly head, go for baptism. He said, in the last day, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. That's baptism. The spirit is poured upon flesh, and suddenly flesh begins to prophesy. Flesh begins to see visions. Flesh begins to dream. Why? Because flesh is mortified. Flesh is deadened. This is the protocol of establishment. Most of us, the last time we were baptized was the last time we were immersed in water. That's why we don't recognize ourselves anymore. The thing is so strong that the guy is crying, he's still doing it. You know why? He has become a puppet. But in a territory where the gate of error is open, we are pastors. We can do but so much. But you owe yourself the responsibility of establishment. This is why I'm showing you the responsibility you need to take for your destiny. If God opens your eyes to see yourself in the spirit, you will run. I'm telling you, this thing you are seeing here is highly denatured. This is a fallen man. The first time I saw myself in the spirit, I was a burning flame of fire. Everything from me was burning, and the fire was raging. It was raging. I told myself, Kai, you know the trial. Is this you? If you are half your reality in the spirit, you will take 10 cities. Do you know what the devil does? He takes you to a tomb. He puts a stone in your hand and you use it to injure yourself. Until the word of God comes to find you. Like the Gadarene maniac that had the power and the propensity to take 10 cities, but yet was in a tomb. An evangelist that can take 10 cities is in chains, injuring himself. Every time you watch that pornography, you have a stone in your hand, injuring yourself. Every time you slept with that man or that sister, you are injuring yourself. If the world wants to help you, it will bring the image of liberty, the mirror, and you will see yourself. Then you will discover that a Rahab can become a progenitor of the Christ. You will discover that a harlot, a Salome, can become an evangelist. She was the first that preached the gospel. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene in the tomb. 7 demons made a slave out of her. But when she found him, you don't even know she loved the Lord more than everybody. You will think this is a harlot. No. The apostles came. They saw napkin. It was enough for them. They went back. Mary Magdalene saw an angel. She was not moved. She said, I want my Lord. I want my Lord. Some of us see angels. The next thing, we have become evangelists. When God appeared to me on the mountain, not a Mary Magdalene. She saw 2 angels. She was not moved. I want my Lord. I want him. I want him. That's a woman of the presence. That's a keeper of intimacy. That's a watcher over the custodies of the Spirit of God. I want my Lord. Do you know many people? I told somebody, I said, the greatest of men are not on the pulpit. They are men of intimacy. Every day they wake up, they groan for him. They are there. They are there. There are some of them that they intercede so much. Jesus shows up and says, they will not die. I heard the story of an Indian intercessor. He's called the Maharishi of Mount Kailash. As at 1901, when Sadhu Sundarsingh met him, he was more than 400 years old. Jesus came and changed his heart and said, you will not die. You will live until I return. Those are the Mary Magdalenes. That's the kind of person that John the Beloved is. He loved God so much that glory swallowed his mortal body. They put him in boiling oil. He could not die. They tied him to a chariot. They put him in a city. He could not be injured. So the only thing they did was to send him away from civilization to the Isle of Patmos. And while he was in Patmos, he didn't feel lonely. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. People like us don't die. We are immersed in baptism. In baptism, we live there. I was in the Isle of Patmos. But you look at Mary Magdalene, you call her a harlot. Some of you are masturbators. Some of you may be demonized. You don't know yourself. The devil is trying to force that identity on you. When you journey in the spirit, you will come to a point where you will discover that masturbation cannot travel there. The intensity, the pressure, the life that flows from that realm will be too hot. So you will pull off masturbation and you will be clothed with the garments of glory. That was where Moses entered. Moses did not have the Holy Ghost, but he knew there are baptisms in the spirit. And when Moses entered, he lived so much in the cave that one day when he came down, the Bible said his face shone like the sun. Do you know that the high priest need to be sanctified for 8 months before he can enter the Holy of Holies. Moses doesn't need sanctification. Every day he enters into the tabernacle of the congregation. You know why? His body, the guy had become deity. So when Paul showed up, he called Moses the law. He said, when Moses is read, that means every part of Moses has become a dimension. It's a revelation of the standard of God. That's why God said Moses is perfect in all of his house. The guy's body could not see corruption. It was God himself that killed him, because he can't die. He can't die. He can't die. He can't die. And even when Moses died, there was contention for his body, because that body has mingled with glory. It's a place. Baptism. Baptism. Shakias. Shalavash. Kiatwas. Kaj. Taliasubash. Kaisavos. Sazala Taliato. Zetatapalas. Rakira Sabash. Sabash Kaya. Wah. Titikayatat. Ah. Shit. Ah. 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 Shakiato. Oh, to your spirit again. I want to swim in the sea of glass. You don't know what I'm talking about. The doctrine of baptism. Elijah entered the palace and he stood before a king. He came to threaten a king that there will be no rain. And he said, before God, whom I stand, I am not in your palace. I am before God. It was famous of Elijah that every time he wants to travel, God carries him. Obadiah told him, how do you want me to go and call the king? The Spirit of God will carry you again. So the guy floats in the wind before God, whom I stand. The doctrine of baptism. Man must be immersed. Immersed. And you see, there is a river coming. I can see it now. I can see it now. Some of you are receiving it now. The baptism. The baptism. The baptism. The baptism, the baptism, the baptism, the baptism. I call for that dimension. In the name of Jesus. Listen. The hand of God is coming on 12 people. It will come on you like rain. Like rain. You will feel it. You will feel it. Holy Spirit. From the left to the right. From the front to the back. Now let the baptism begin. Touch. Touch, 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 like the rain, 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 touch. I'm seeing seven sisters that are receiving the mantle of intercession. intercessors of rank, of rank, of rank in the spirit. Holy Ghost, we are the intercessors. Fight them. Touch. Beato, 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 beato. Oh. This is how men gain stature in the spirit. The Bible said the righteous are as tall as the cedars of Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon are as tall as 120 feet. The root is as deep as 300 feet. Immersed in waters. Immersed. Immersed. Men of stature will rise. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing three lights on this road. There are three men here. God wants to increase your stature in the spirit. Your stature. You become as tall as the cedars of Lebanon. And so right now, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, find them, 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 find them,